For example, she gave three speeches to Goldman Sachs, making over $600,000 from that one investment bank, that she gave a very specially tailored message saying that she's against all of this anti-bank populism. According to Politico, she reassured the bankers that she wouldn't be taking the line of Elizabeth Warren or Obama, really criticizing the big banks. And so it's, this is a big issue.
I want to get Ellen Chesler, a Hillary Clinton supporter, to respond.
I actually was at one of those Goldman Sachs speeches, and it was about foreign policy, completely about foreign policy. And the entire fee for the speaking went to support the Clinton Foundation. And this raises a big question in my view. I mean, I think America needs to do a little bit better by its ex-presidents, because we've put them in a situation, and President Obama is going to be in the same situation, where in order to support unless they're individually wealthy themselves, which is very rare, in order to support their lives after being in office. I mean, these offices no longer allow you to kind of fade away to the Supreme Court, or as has been in the past.
But you said the money goes to the foundation, not to them.
So the money supported the foundation, almost all of it. I don't know exactly the numbers, because I'm not inside.
Well, Li Fong, what about that?
So that, I mean, you know, again...
Well, let me ask. We only have 30 seconds. Li Fong, your response.
I believe the Clintons have said some of the money has gone to the foundation, but the vast majority of it has personally enriched them. They've, you know, released their personal ethics disclosures, and it's clear that the Clintons have made a lot of money, tens of millions of dollars, as I mentioned, earning over $115 million from the speaker circuit over the last 16 years.
And then they've given it to the foundation.
This is truly unprecedented.
Then well, we're going to have to leave it there, but we'll continue to explore this, of course. Li Fong with The Intercept, Ellen Chesler with Roosevelt Institute, and thanks also to John Nichols from The Nation. This is Democracy Now! We will be covering New Hampshire. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Greetings, and welcome to Natural Alternatives. This is Dr. Ellen Kamai. Along with my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, we bring you cutting-edge information on natural alternatives, coming your way every Friday evening, 6 to 7 p.m., right here on 90.1 FM. Tune in, stay healthy, move towards optimum wellness. See you then.
And see you now. And you know what? We bring you Natural Alternatives all the time here at WUSB. Stony Brook. That's WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM, WUSB.FM on the internet. Archives and playlists are there, as well as the schedule of all the different kind of programming you get here. Right now, it is approximately 6:01. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, this is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Emmanuel over here, but let me stop you right there. No. You're not Kyle. I just witnessed down the hall in the coffee shop, you refer to yourself as Roy. Now,
yeah,
is there something you want to tell us? Because you told the person behind the counter your name was Roy. They called Roy. You went up, and you picked up all the merchandise that you ordered down there. And according to everyone on that side of the building, you're Roy. So which is it?
Yeah, last name Biv, okay? Roy Biv.
It's not ringing any bells.
Roy G. Biv. Rainbow!
All right, fine. But what kind of name is Roy? I just want to ask. I mean, is it short for something?
I realize
I don't know anybody named Roy.
Roy Jabald.
No, that's not a real name. Roy. No. You're Roy. I don't know if I can get used to that.
That's a good point. I don't know. I don't know where Roy comes from. But it's a good go-to name. And you know, you don't always have to tell people the truth. When you're ordering something and they ask you your name, you just give them a name that you'll recognize when they call it.
Right.
I'm not saying I come to Roy when I'm called Roy, but I'm aware of the name that I'm giving them.
Well, if someone were to shout out Roy in a crowd, I don't think anybody else would come to it because, I don't know a single... The closest I have is Roy Rogers, and I don't know Roy Rogers. I just know of the place, but I know it was named after somebody named Roy. I'm sure there's another one somewhere. As a baseball player named Roy Orbison. Yeah. Okay, so there are a few, but I don't know him personally either. There's like a theme here. I've never known a Roy that I could speak to. If your name is Roy, consider calling us later or writing to us. We just would like to make that kind of contact, you know, because we're learning. We're always learning about alternative cultures and viewpoints and things like that, and If we're lacking in talking to Roy's, this is something that we need to work on.
I've met a Rip.
You've met someone actually named Rip?
Yeah.
I knew of a someone named Rip Torn. That was actually their stage name, Rip Torn.
That's kind of cool.
I think there was another Rip, too, somewhere. Rip Van Winkle.
It also could have been just like a uniform, because it was on a shirt, I think, like a uniform. So.
Well, anyway, so Roy, I don't know if that's what you want to hold on to, but... I mean, you can't walk into that place again and use a different name. They'll know.
I haven't been challenged, but I'll have to use a different one.
Well, what you say is true. You can lie. You can make things up and
it's not a lie. It's just
it is a lie, Kyle. It's a lie. They ask you your name and you told them a fib.
Well, I
mean, you might as well have said your name was fib.
It's how you look at their inquiry, the name. Itself, I mean, yeah. What is my name today? Yeah, I mean, it's a state of mind, and you know, today I'm Roy, or this very moment you're asking, I'm Roy. Yes,
and maybe the coffee they give you is actually tea at this moment,
or dishwater.
Can you live in a world like that? You see,
No.
One lie leads to another. It's what we've always been taught. But no.
But
seriously,
Roy's not a tea person.
We're not telling you the truth because it's okay to lie. Mm. In fact, I've said this many times. It's okay to lie to a perfect stranger because they don't know any different. If you talk to somebody on the phone or at a coffee shop and they ask you a question about yourself, you can make something up. It doesn't matter. How does it hurt them? And it basically gives you practice in how you can expand your non-existent life a little bit.
Well, and to not be so reflexive with the truth.
Exactly.
Because, I got no follow-up.
Well, no, what you wanted to say was truth is a prison. Truth is a prison, and many times people cannot break out of the truth.
You know, that actually was what I was trying to articulate, is that you must be free.
I can see the script. I mean, I know what you were supposed to say. People feel like they have to always be honest, quote-unquote honest, with their location, with their identity. I mean, I've seen the most ridiculous... Where were we? Yeah, when we were at one of the vets a few weeks ago... Mm-hmm. They asked for my social security number. Now, what in God's name does an animal hospital need my social security number for? So I gave them a fake Social Security number, and someone somewhere is on file now as having their Social Security number associated with our cat, who is going in for analysis.
You know, another thing around that is pet stores. They're a little pushy with the info. Pet stores always want your info. They always have a club. And
why are pet stores so damn annoying? You walk in there. First of all, do you have a card? No, I don't have a card. Don't want a card. Just want to get through this. You know, then it's like, give it. They don't even ask. What's your phone number? What's your phone number? Really? We're that forward now? You're just going to ask for my phone number. And I tell them, I lie. I say, I don't have a phone. Sometimes I say it while I'm holding a phone. I don't have a phone. You cannot have my phone number. Sometimes I say that. What are you going to do with my phone number? Probably call me. Yeah, I don't want pet stores calling me. What's wrong with you? Why? And then the worst thing of all, some pet stores, they hit you up for a little contribution. But, you know, it's fine if people want to donate. But the phrasing on the little cash register is, do you want to help a hungry pet or a hungry animal or something like that? And you have to say no. You have to say no. I want to let it starve. You know, and you feel like such a jerk. But that's how they phrase it. It's all this passive aggressiveness when you just want to buy cat food.
It might as well say kick. Yes, I want to kick it. No, nobody does. Nobody does. But when you phrase it that way, and you know, it makes you seem crass or too busy, and it is. It's about guilting you into being philanthropic.
This is why I go for the automated lanes, because you know you don't have to have that kind of conversation with a machine.
That's right.
Well, sometimes you do, but at least you can be super rude to it.
Well, and we can look forward to the machines. The machines are replacing all kinds of things. Tellers at banks now are the latest humans to be replaced.
Well, that I don't get, because it's ATMs, automatic teller machines. They've been around forever, but what, this is the final purge? They're trying to get rid of them all now?
Yeah, they have this strange thing. Some banks, you'll see, if you walk in, they have, of course, a vestibule maybe where a traditional ATM is, but adjacent or next to where their human tellers are, you'd have something that's maybe set up slightly differently, and maybe it also has ADA features like...
ADA, assistant district attorney?
No. Disabled persons compliance.
Okay.
You know, it's lower or whatever, so... But what it does is a fairly identical job to the traditional teller that's in there, and maybe does more transactions than an older ATM. I don't really know. I mean, it really seems to be the look. So if you're in a bank and you are observing this, you know, please write in and tell us about it. It's really curious. But there are machines all over in your grocery store, taking place of humans there, and people seem to welcome this.
Yeah, they do. Well, you know, there's a certain amount of welcoming new technology. There's a certain amount of feeling like something is easier. But then there's always the instances where things don't go easier, where things go wrong. And how do you deal with it then? Are there any options? So it's important to always know the other way of doing things. When automation doesn't work, how do you do it manually? It's important.
Yeah, fail safe, I think, is a term of art that you could use to kind of generally cover that attitude. And it's something we wouldn't want to see go away. And that sort of inventiveness in an emergency or a situation where you have to come up with something that maybe isn't ideal but works with what you've got. And, that's a great spirit to have, that sort of handiness to be able to build something anew with stuff that you have that's around you.
There's not one element of society where we're not being pressured to get rid of the old and embrace the new. And every single instance of that carries its risks, getting rid of cash and just going digital currency and credit cards and things like that. Not a good idea, because if something fails, then you have no access to your money and you're out there in the street. You know, how many times when there's power failures do the credit card machines work? They don't. Digitizing books and having just electronic copies, great, until somebody erases them, then you don't have any books left. You know, you have to have the backups, the vinyl and the digital. It's got to all be there, and you have to pick and choose which you want to make use of now.
I thought of another one, operators. Just private, public, all sorts of operators. That's normal. We don't have it. We know it's a machine. We joke about it. Oh, I'm talking to the machine, but it is a human that has been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think of that?
I think my phone's ringing.
Maybe it's a machine. Maybe it's a human. You don't know. Either way, you accept it.
Is this a cool ringtone?
Or are you going to decline it?
Come on, that's the coolest ringtone ever.
Yes.
All right.
It's the siren.
I'm sorry, I can't pick this up. It's rude, right, to talk on the air, on the phone, on the air.
You know, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
I would say here at WSB, we are accepting of all kinds of attitudes and behaviors. We generally don't look down at individuals using their telephones while on the air, but I think it's a specific case-by-case situation, and in this case, I'm here to help you. And I also have a telephone.
A big phone over there.
Big one.
It's got like 30 lines on it. That's the phone that we take.
It's a workhorse here.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, but the thing is,
you're not alone, is what I'm saying.
If we were in a cafe or something, you know, staring face to face.
I'm staring.
Combative poise that a lot of people have. And my phone rang. I would not pick it up because most people do pick up their phone when it rings or when they get a text message or when they get an email or when they get an Amber Alert or whatever. All these things constantly beeping and buzzing and vibrating. And it just basically takes you away from the people that you are currently sharing flesh time with. Is that an appropriate word? You know, being there in the real world, not the digital world.
Yeah, it is. And so there's a challenge we'd issue just generally. And I think it's in what you said.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an alert or something interrupts a moment, just feel yourself responding. Right, your heart rate goes up, and you get a little cold sweat, and you start reaching for, you know, everybody knows the reaching for your device. Feel that, acknowledge it, let it run through you,
right?
But resist, and just try to resist when you're in with family, wherever. See what that's like. It's amazing, and then when you do check it. And you're like, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that you saved yourself a total wasted glance, and you chose the real world instead of this reflexive response to automation.
And the real world isn't always better. Sometimes you're talking to a real bore, but you are engaged in a real conversation with real people who are there at the moment. They should have your priority. Picture it this way. Let me try to explain it in terms people might understand. You're in a pizza place that's crowded, right? And people have to wait online to give orders. But then there's one wise guy that decides to text his order in or call his order in, and it gets in front of everybody. Is that fair? It's not fair, especially if he's right there doing it, you know? But that's sort of what's going on. People are cutting ahead in line or basically just interrupting your conversation. It's not right. And we need to be a little bit better at actual communication, because all these things are distractions, just ways of getting out of whatever it is you're doing, which makes me wonder, why did you agree to do it in the first place? Why not just stay home and be on your device? I put my phone away for...
That's a funny observation, too, just the ordering thing, because...
Right.
What you're doing in exchange for giving up privacy, you're letting this corporation into your life, or you're going into their world. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you look at it, but
right.
In exchange for that the loss of some privacy or just individualism or just not being tracked, whatever you equate that to, in exchange for that, you then present to the rest of the customer base that you're somehow special.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the circle, when they see all the dressing of that, but they don't see the consequence, right? That's
yes.
All just data. And it's fascinating how that being in cool or in that club, same thing like we were talking about the pet stores, you get these now social perks, not just a coupon. It's like you actually are now wirelessly paying for this and that and the other thing, and it's all a demonstration of technology to be in sort of the in crowd of the customer base.
It's cool to play with, it's cool to experiment with and develop new things, but we should never be enslaved to it. We should never be so dependent on it that we can't do anything else. I put my phone away for 3 days
and realized this
last week. And it basically didn't even bother me. I went outside and I didn't have my phone with me.
Sure.
I forgot that I didn't have the phone. And then 3 days later, I turned it on and there I had some messages, you know, no big deal.
It takes a while to catch up. Yeah. It's got, you know, it reloads a bunch of messages all at once, but it's not a totally catastrophic sort of way to be.
And not at
you
all.
Realize you maybe enjoyed a couple other things that you otherwise would have been torn away from.
I would like to issue a challenge to our listeners. Go a day without your phone. Leave your phone someplace that it won't call out to you. Put it in a closet. Turn it off. Yeah, do that. Do you even know how to turn your phone off? Turn your phone off, put it in a dresser drawer or something, and come back 24 hours later and see what has happened in your life. You know, the people that you hang out with, is there no other way to contact them, to reach them, to engage in conversation? I think you might be surprised at how little you need these devices. I'm not saying devices are bad. I'm saying dependency on devices is bad. So that's something that I'm all in favor of experimenting with.
Yeah, and it's just healthy to see, I think, the way you respond, just to measure your own sort of paralysis or lack thereof when you go without something like this. It's fascinating to really let that in. That's, I think, what I was alluding to earlier.
And it drives people crazy, too, because they expect you to answer right away. When they send the email, why didn't you respond to my email? Because everyone's email goes to their phones. Well, you know what? My email does not go to my phone. It never will. Because my phone is my phone, and my computer is my computer. And, you know, there's different worlds for a reason. And if something is particularly urgent, well, the people that know how to reach me know how to reach me. And people who are sending me email are going to have to wait till I'm reading email. It's as simple as that. Because otherwise, you become one of these people that's constantly checking devices and answering people. And you can barely get out three sentences in an evening with them without all the distractions. And we all know people like this.
Yeah, and the computers, the phones themselves are still computers. They're still very universal, mm-hmm. right? But you're defining how you use it and incorporate it, and consolidating all of the kinds of ways you interact or communicate into one tiny platform isn't maybe the best for you socially. And I think people are more attentive when you separate up different activities. It's just like if you're writing a book or something, or you go into a place where you're putting together a program or some sort of creative project, you get into that space and you're very focused on it. And I think because we can do everything from anywhere on a tiny, tiny mm-hmm. computer doesn't necessarily make everything we do with it everywhere valid and useful. And in fact, it degrades quality. I think that's the sort of subtext here, too.
I think you hit the thumbtack on the head when you said that you define how to use the technology, because that's exactly it. You have this little computer in your pocket that can do all kinds of things. You don't have to do the same thing everybody else does. Hey, use an app to track the sky, learn about astronomy, track airplanes, see where things are going. All sorts of amazing apps that are out there that you can dive into and really enrich your life in many ways. You don't have to do the same social media crap that everybody else is doing and always be findable and definable and just part of the mainstream. This is a chance for your individuality to shine with any piece of technology. Do not fall into the trap of adjusting your behavior to fit its confines. Instead, configure any device that you use to fit what you want to do.
What you want that device to be in
That's
your
what
life.
They're for.
Yeah. And I challenge people to also delete an app. Why not? There's a lot. Delete one.
I don't know how to delete an app on my phone.
Has anybody ever deleted? No. There's so much crud and wasted sort of silliness on phones. Sometimes I do that. I'm looking through and I'm like, I need to get rid of this.
Yeah, I've never deleted an app. That's a good challenge.
Yeah, so I mean, that's another little task, I think, is
all right.
To delete one app.
Tonight, that's what I'm going to spend the night doing, is figuring out how to delete an app.
One app that you never use, you won't miss, delete it.
Why?
Mm-hmm. I mean, why do you have to have it on your phone? That game you never use, that one silly thing you tried and downloaded and you don't ever use it, and it's irrelevant now because you have five other things that do that. Try and remove that from your device.
Yes, yes. That's good challenges.
So no more interruptions without further ado.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry my phone rang, and whoever is trying to get a hold of me, how dare you interrupt the radio show with a phone call. I'll get back to you when I get back to you. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
It is simple.
So, election. Well, not election. Caucus.
Yes.
We watched the caucus, well, one of the caucuses, caucusi? What's the plural?
We watched a caucus.
We watched a caucus in Iowa last night on C-SPAN. C-SPAN is awesome. I got to tell you. C-SPAN, yeah, you've said this many years.
Yes.
But C-SPAN is really an incredible network to just watch things unfold. And I mentioned this to you while we were watching the caucus, the Democratic caucus in Iowa, that they were just airing one. I didn't know you could ever witness one. This is the first time I've ever seen one in action, and it was fascinating to watch. We felt like we were a part of it. We got to know the people who were running around this high school cafeteria for about 2 hours, first registering and then signing things and then voting and agreeing and passing motions.
And it's just one district
in the
grand scheme of the whole thing statewide.
But it felt like it was our district. It felt like we were a part of it, and it was just really cool to see that. And afterwards, I commented to you, felt like we were watching something in Canada, because Canada has that same kind of homey atmosphere to it in many, many areas where people are just more, familiar with each other, and individuals are more interesting as far as the way they're portrayed in the media. There's not this disconnect between the famous and the non-famous. So we're watching all these ordinary people in Iowa, and they became really, really interesting, and I learned a lot about the process. That said, boy, the process really is crazy. I mean, think about it. We had a relatively small number of people in Iowa, because only about 20% of voters turn out to engage in caucuses. You know, my view on voting is that it should be anonymous. But here, you're on C-SPAN, for God's sake, giving out all kinds of information about themselves. And, of course, who they're allied with, who they want to be elected. So it's not for the people that believe that a vote should be secret. These are people that are pushing for particular candidates to win in particular parties. It's, you know, it's fine. Not a problem, but it's not fair, because Iowa gets all of this preferential treatment. They're always first. And the reason they're always first, I've been looking into this. It has to do with all kinds of craziness, such as how many hotel rooms are available in a particular time of the year, and how much time they need to process the various district delegates and the county delegates and the state delegates and all that. So they need extra time, so they pushed it back all the way to the beginning of the year. And that's why Iowa is always first every damn presidential election. And it just gives them a lot of influence when the rest of us have absolutely no influence. We've seen people. O'Malley is out. O'Malley has quit.
Done.
Apparently the 0% he got last night was too much for him to bear. And it's likely that no other state would have gotten him very much more. But when you think about how few people make that decision, it just doesn't seem like the best way to do it. And then when you add into that the Electoral College, where the popular vote really isn't what decides who becomes elected in November.
Right.
What a crazy... Why are we so afraid of democracy? Why are we afraid of just having a majority vote? You know, it's... what we should do, what I think we should do, is have a free-for-all. Have all 20 candidates or whatever running at the same time. And then you do like in other countries where you basically shave off the top ones. You have a runoff. You do this several times until you get somebody who is actually the popular candidate. Then you would see alternative candidates. You'd see more of them. The reasoning that a lot of people use why it has to be Iowa, why it can't be a state like Illinois or New York, and why we can't do things in the way I just described, is because of the cost of getting media access and having ads. Well, okay, you know, television stations are using public airwaves. The airwaves do not belong to them. They belong to the public. They should not be charging anything for political advertising. There should be a certain amount of political advertising allocated, and it should be shared amongst all the candidates, and then people can actually make a decision And it won't just be the billionaires that have access to all the media. It'll be everybody. That's the way it should be. And then you might have some representative government. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't take too many changes to get it a lot more, a lot less corrupt, mm-hmm. I think. That's something that's going around. I think that definitely, in general, corruption is not, it's not so hot. People aren't really into that in 2016.
No, especially Bernie.
No.
Bernie Sanders keeps coming back to the corrupt electoral process, and he's right. And I got to say, you know, I don't mind putting forth my opinions on who the best candidate is. I think far away Bernie Sanders is, and it's interesting to see how his campaign is growing and becoming a real formidable historical campaign. He does not have a super PAC. He does not have massive amounts of money being donated by corporations. He has individuals. Average donation is $27. And yet he was able to get within 0.2% of Hillary Clinton last night. Basically, she's claiming victory, but it really is. It's a tie. I think they get the same amount of delegates because they 49.9% and 49.7%. What's the difference? So that's
it's fractions of a percent. It just very, very, very close in the end. So it's making for some exciting news, and we'll keep following everything.
Yes, but when you say that, that means we can't talk about it anymore. And that's all I have.
Oh, okay. Well, we could, I guess, take some phone calls or change to another story that is keeping everyone riveted this week.
We didn't talk about the Republicans.
Oh, right. You're right. We didn't.
Yeah. Trump did not win. He came in second.
Trump's a loser.
Well, we always knew that. But is this what's going to get him out of this absurd circus that he started? I don't know. It might be, depending on what happens in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is 1 week from tonight. So Hillary Clinton is supposedly going to lose New Hampshire to Bernie Sanders. The real question is, how much will she lose by? If it's a phenomenal amount, then that really gives Bernie Sanders a real boost. I think Nevada and South Carolina come up after that, where Clinton is expected to win. I just see his campaign getting stronger and stronger because he's having interesting conversations with the people on issues that we never talk about.
Yeah.
You know, universal health care, for instance.
Right.
He's bringing every single time he mentions that. That is a time that's being talked about in a national forum where it was never talked about before. And I think it resonates with more and more people each time. So, you know, even if he loses, he's still winning because he's bringing that to the audience. And it's becoming a talking point where it was not a talking point before. And, you know, I could stomach voting for Hillary Clinton if that's what it turns out to be. But she will have to deal with the progressive politics that, excuse me, he has brought to the forefront now. So that's a very interesting turn of events, and a positive one, I think.
Yeah, and she's just boring. I think he's exciting. He's bringing up topics that have not been in the limelight and given the thrust they need, and I just think she's too safe.
Well, she's establishment, you know?
Well, that's the word that people are using, but that's what it boils down to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not that interesting.
Yeah, and he's interesting. He engages interesting with people, and not only is he interesting, he's genuine.
Yeah.
He's a real person. You feel like you could have a conversation with, and his wife, they're both real people, and I think that resonates with so many.
And he goofs around a little bit, too. I've seen some really personable little vignettes and stories mm-hmm. about him, and I think that really counts with people. I mean, that matters a lot.
Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that's important. And yeah, you're right. Hillary Clinton seems a little bit more, I don't know, kind of careful.
Yeah.
Careful what
practiced.
She says. Polished.
Yeah.
And, Bernie Sanders is just, you could see him on the train. And
he uses a train.
I'm sure he does. And it's nothing that would surprise you. This is the kind of accessibility. This is the kind of
right.
of person that we need to see in whatever form. And basically what you do see on the entire Republican side and most of the other candidates is just a product. It's an end product. And it's
a quaffed.
I'm sick of it. I'm sure everybody else is sick of it, too. So anyway, 631-632-6901 is our telephone number. Call us if your name is Roy. Call us if you have something to say about the campaign.
Or any other topic that we've raised.
Digital devices.
Yes.
Whatnot.
Stuff that we've covered in previous weeks as well. Anything on your mind, please give us a call. 631-632-6901.
I'm ready to go into delay when you are.
Well, on delay...
Wow, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad, except our headphones are a little messed up.
Yeah, it's because you're touching that knob you're never supposed to touch. And when you touch that knob, you get static of all sorts. And, oh, my God, it's so painful.
Okay, well, I think it's okay. And we can take those calls now. 631-632-6901.
And hopefully not too many people will call in at once because sometimes it blows circuits at the phone company and they get upset at us.
Yes, yes, but we'll do our best, and we'd love to hear from you.
631-632-6901. If you have a thought on the caucuses, on the election, on digital devices, or if your name is Roy, I think that pretty much covers everything.
Yeah, yeah, or automation, that's another topic we talked about. And this is WUSB, Stony Brook, a fantastic community radio station in Stony Brook, on the campus of Stony Brook University.
We're the most powerful radio station on campus.
The most powerful radio station on campus,
yes.
Indeed. And it's a great, great community. And we'd love for you to be able to use the airwaves because that's it's partly one of the advantages of this kind of station. So I'm going to take this call.
Okay.
Hello, you're on WUSB.
I don't hear anybody, do you?
Okay.
Did they hang up?
All right. This is how we're going to do this, people.
What happened?
When you call
mm-hmm.
and I say, hello, you're on WUSB, you respond, hi, and hopefully your radio is down.
And my pen ran out of ink. I missed the last part of that.
Okay. Anyway, 631-632-6901. That caller could call back if you'd like to comment on something that we've brought up.
Yes.
You can also write us otw@2600.com. If you have stuff from the archives, questions, anything, please write us. We would love to answer your letter, read your letter, and share your letter even.
People don't write emails. People don't write emails anymore.
But
it's,
you know what?
It's the latest thing. They communicate with little, 140-character texts. That's it.
The important thing is they can write. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty, people. That's what you cling to. You recognize and realize, accept that, hang on to it, and then act.
If they can write. If they can. They're not, you know they're not teaching writing in schools anymore? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're teaching math instead. No writing.
Wow.
You believe me. Wow, people. This is something that people will actually start believing when I say it. Yeah, they stopped teaching writing in school, folks.
Handwriting.
Doesn't sound unbelievable.
I would believe it because I've heard handwriting, like penmanship,
uh-huh.
is less of a thing because
typing
has taken over. I may have thought that when you said that, but regardless, 631-632-6901, we'll take your call.
Well, while we're waiting for calls to come in, or calls that actually stick around, I've got a little a feature from a local newspaper.
I have a call.
This is what makes calls come in. All right, fine.
Hi, you're on WUSB. Hello?
I called originally, then I hung up.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Digital phone here.
What was your question or comment?
Go ahead. So I was actually just going to comment on your electronic devices.
It's like talking to Mars here.
Go ahead. We read you.
Houston Control, we have a problem.
I'm sorry, I'm calling from my car.
Wow, that's a surprise. Let's try and understand your transmission. Tell us what your question is.
I don't really have a question. I just have a comment.
Go ahead. We read you.
You guys just assume everyone is just so addicted to their smartphones.
Smartphones, I heard.
Not everyone out there is a teenage girl. Just want you guys to know. A lot of people utilize them in other ways than, you know, they actually benefit from carrying smartphones.
Right, and you have, like, kind of boundaries with their use of it, right? They realize it's just a tool, and yeah, there's a million things you can do all the time on it.
A lot of people, and I think that's a lot of people. Of course, you're always going to have the people who are tethered to their phone and use it for ridiculous, you know, whatever it may be. I don't see social media really.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I think we got the gist of that. Thanks so much for your comment.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. You said you're talking about these devices, and you said you're going to figure out how to delete an app. So, I don't know, maybe you guys aren't the right ones for this.
Oh.
How to delete an app.
Well, no, I think the challenge was go, like, try to spend time doing that. Like, it's the opposite of what you are conditioned to do, which would be to, like, add all kinds of apps. Like,
I actually delete apps all the time. I don't want to say I'm an app junkie. I'm a junkie, and I do like to utilize apps to what they're meant for, and if they don't live up to that, I delete them.
Yeah, exactly, because I find that there's so many resources, you know, the device is limited to a certain degree, so people don't always think, you know, maybe I should delete these things, and with so many things tracking, I think that was kind of our point, that it's something we don't often think to do, we just have tons and tons of stuff, even if we don't always use it.
I think a better topic, just off the top of my head, for smartphones, is the fact that New York and California are both pushing to unencrypt cell phones, pushing the top manufacturers, which I think is a bit scary myself. They want the phones to be shipped unencrypted so they can get into your phone at will. And I think that's really a better topic than... Mm-hmm. That, to me, is scary.
Well, absolutely. I
push for that kind of thing. And, you know, ever since 9/11, we've let a lot of things just slip away.
Yeah, and it's interesting, in the politics and stuff that we've seen, it's not been mentioned very much. I think Rand Paul's the only one that's brought up some of these issues.
Yeah, well, he actually gets that issue.
They're trying to push these initiatives through right now, both of the states. And mm-hmm. I think it's funny how it's California and New York are both pushing really hard for this.
Right.
They're supposedly the two most progressive states in the union.
Well, keep in mind, there are some politicians that are pushing for it and a lot of pushback against it, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Yeah,
you know, as much as everyone complains about big business and you have the two largest tech companies, Apple and Google.
Right.
They're the ones pushing back, and I think that's, you know, that's something to be said for them, at least.
Yes.
That they do a lot of the tracking, they know a lot about you, but they're the ones trying to stop government from getting that same information as well. So.
Yeah, and they should not, and they're objecting to the use of those locations as venues to set legal precedents that then can oppress people. All right, hey, we got another call.
Excellent.
All right, hey, thanks for your call, and have a good night. Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm well, yourself?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for the commentary about having free television time for political candidates. Right now, here in the town of Brookhaven, we have, and in fact, in 9 towns out of 10 in Suffolk County, we have a government access channel. And there was a time in the town of Riverhead when
Riverhead,
Bob Kosakiewicz, who was supervisor there,
uh-huh.
a debate, I believe it was put on by Denise Civiletti, who used to work for the News Review out there, a local paper, and they had a wonderful debate. I filmed it for television, and Bob Kosakiewicz put it on the government channel. And that, I thought that was really wonderful. Now, in the town of Brookhaven, in contrast, there was a debate that I filmed at the for APCO, the Affiliated Brookhaven Civic Organizations, and I wanted Brian Foley, who was the Democratic supervisor at the time here, who, by the way, prematurely resigned. But anyway, he would not put the debate on the government access channel. So we have this, it's a government access channel, that where you can see, in fact, the town board meetings on
channel. We watch that channel sometimes, and it's always the same camera angle and people applying for variances and things like that. It's kind of exciting
and
sometimes.
They have two people there working there in that town, and instead of them, one of them standing up and being on the camera, they have a camera that is a static camera, just like you're saying, and it's ridiculous. These people are getting paid a lot of money, and they're not doing the work of a real camera professional person who would zoom in on the speakers. Thank you so much for that comment and observation.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for your call. It's interesting to know these things.
Yes, I'm the person, in fact, who put the government channel on television here in Brookhaven Town. My name is Zabby.
Zabby, you do a show for us, don't you?
Yes, I do. A Woman's Perspective on Politics on Mondays from 1:30 to 3 p.m.
Well, Zabby, maybe you can help us. We want to get NASA TV on the local cable network here, Cablevision.
You know what? I'm having trouble hearing you.
We want to get NASA TV on Cablevision. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, we've been trying to petition Cablevision to add NASA because it's not aired on any of the local network or providers.
I'm sorry, the acronym you're using, I'm not familiar.
NASA space, like National Aeronautical and Space Administration.
The NASA.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know anything about that, Zabby?
Well, I would be glad to call you after the show and talk to you about that.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate all your hard work, and thanks for your comments on our show today.
You're very welcome.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay. Bye, dear.
And be sure to listen to Zabby Monday afternoons. That's awesome.
That's great.
So
good
many
calls.
People that do shows here, and she put the government channel on. I mean, that's power, to be able to put a channel on. I want to be able to put channels on.
They do listen. You know, when you ask in the right way, sometimes you get somebody's ear at some of these organizations, and they will follow through. So it's important to make your voice heard in all venues.
If you do have Cablevision, though, they have a couple of really awesome channels that no one else seems to carry, which I think is amazing. Channel 103 is Euronews, which is a European all-news network that has such variety and such amazing information throughout the course of a day. It's on Channel 103. And then Channel 165, Classic Arts Showcase.
Yes, the sort of arts and music. It's a several-hour loop, basically, that changes, I think, weekly or every
other
week.
It's an eight-hour loop. So they play three times a day, and it changes every week. So that's a lot of material. And you might see an opera, a snippet of an opera from the 1940s, and then something more modern. It's just basically, it's all over the place, but it's really fascinating.
It's
never any commercials, never any fundraising.
It's very well organized and labeled.
Yes.
They label each item to tell you what kind of genre, if it's performance, stage, whatever it's drawn from. And then there are credits going into and out of each clip, and they vary in length, but it's a fantastic organization of arts and entertainment.
That's on Channel 165 on Cablevision. But they don't have NASA. If you have DirecTV, I think they're Channel 352. I don't know why I know all the channel numbers, but they don't. They used to have it on Cablevision. It was Channel 1, believe it or not, many years ago. Because when I first had Cablevision, I couldn't believe that was a Channel 1, and it had NASA TV, which I had never heard of before, but then they dropped it.
Yeah, I think it was in the 70s on Comcast when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's free to air if you have all that equipment, but a cable provider can tune in and then distribute that. It's very simple, but often it comes down to channel allocation, as you've been describing. So we'll see, and you know, maybe they'll add it the next time they're getting rid of a home shopping network or making otherwise making room.
There are so many channels. It's basically you can fit almost anything these days. So I don't want to hear that excuse anymore.
And I know they're not afraid to have smarter audience customers. That's no excuse.
No, but do indicate when they do something right. That's important, and that's what we're trying to do here. They basically have things that nobody else has, and that's important. That's what keeps us around. Okay, I guess we're kind of running out of time.
We have time for another call.
If somebody else calls in, 631-632-6901. No, nobody named Roy. You notice that? There are no Roys out there.
There are no Roys.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
But we have a couple minutes left.
Well, I'm going to try and read this part of this feature again. That should make another phone call come in.
Great, great.
This comes from a local newspaper. And basically what I'm going to do is, it's kind of a competition. It's a police blotter.
Okay.
The police blotter, and whoever puts this column together comes up with a snarky title for every incident. And I'm going to ask you to help come up with the snarky title.
Okay.
You ready for this? Okay, here we go. Police arrested a 28-year-old man from Lake Grove for petit larceny right after he stole two vacuums from a store at the Center Reach Mall. What's the title? You can't take too long.
Vandal sucks at robbery.
You're overthinking it. The title is That Sucks. But that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
It's shorter. Okay, I'll go shorter. No, go ahead. Next.
Police observed a woman in a hand-to-hand drug transaction on Route 25A in Selden and stopped the 55-year-old before she could pull away in her 2002 Cadillac. Officers found heroin in her possession and arrested her for criminal possession of a controlled substance.
Crack in the Cadillac.
That's good. That's better than what they have. They have hand to hand to cuffs.
Oh, crack in the lack. Okay. No, that's good. Okay. Hand to hand and cuffs. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Some of these aren't that good here. Okay. Here's one. A 27-year-old woman from Port Jefferson Station was arrested for petite larceny. That's pretty big around here.
Petite larceny.
After stealing assorted costume, jewelry, clothing, and other items from a store on Route 347 in Setauket-East Setauket, according to police, there are already two unrelated warrants out for the woman's arrest.
Costume, jewelry, fake.
Not even close. Unwarranted steal.
Unwarranted steal. Well, okay, that's a little rough.
One more.
631-632-6901.
Police arrested a 29-year-old Ronkonkoma man for driving while ability impaired after the suspect failed to maintain his lane while driving a 2008 Volkswagen south on Nichols Road in Stony Brook. Police said the man was speeding at 62 miles per hour. This is kind of a silly one.
Slow lane. No. Impaired old man. No. Driving high speed while old. No, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Vroom, vroom to jail.
Vroom, vroom to jail. There's no way I was going to guess that.
That's no way. No way. Okay, one more.
Okay,
an
one more.
Unidentified person stole three faucets from the Lowe's home improvement store in the Sconset Highway in Stony Brook. Three faucets.
Drip, drip, jail.
That's good. In hot water, though.
In hot water. Yeah. Oh, well.
One more.
We're out of time.
An unknown person entered the Walmart on the Sconset Highway in Setauket, East Setauket, and stole a television and a dog bed. Police said the person may have used the dog bed to conceal the TV.
Woof. No, I don't know.
That's a big dog. That's all it was.
All right, we have one call, but I'm afraid one call, we are out of time, and...
yeah, you gotta move faster.
That means no more delay and all that good stuff.
Wow, we're out of delay. That was nice and smooth. Hey, outro tonight. Can we play the Bernie Sanders song? You picked the wrong CD. That's from a different show. Wow. Okay.
No, the answer is no, I can't do that. I just grabbed whatever was there.
Well, I don't know where you grabbed it from. Now you're going to have to kill time while I find it.
Well, time doesn't need killing. Time kills itself. And we'll be back next week at the same relative time.
We're going to be here for a while because I still can't find... Here it is. Hey, it's February 2nd.
It is. It's Black History Month.
But it's Groundhog Day.
It is also Groundhog Day.
Nobody's talking about Groundhog Day. Did he see his shadow or what? Do we have more winter? Do we have any winter?
No, early spring. He did not, or did not, therefore there is spring or something.
Anyway, I wanted to play the Bernie Sanders song for the best election commercial I've seen. Where basically it's just people. It's not an attack ad. It's just people waking up and joining in. So
God help us.
Hopefully he has the rights to this song.
Hey, Finn's coming in for Finn's Revolution. This is WSB. Off the wall. Good night.
Bye.
Let us be loved. lovers will marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies and walked off to look for America. I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. Smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. America.
Yes, 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 my friends. It is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB Stony Brook. It is post-caucus and all that, but you know what? We're not going to talk about any of it. I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try. Tonight we're going to just do wonderful things together, and that's it. So stay tuned.
Lovers.